Blog Talk Radio. Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, this is Tiffany with Redneck and I's Radio and Women of Redneck and I's. We are coming to you tonight. It is 7 p.m. Eastern on a Wednesday. The date is the 24th of August. Can you believe it? August is almost over. September's going to be here in no time whatsoever. And with that, fall. I don't know about y'all out there, but I love fall. Anything to do with fall works for me. Now, mind you, I don't really care for the pumpkins, all the pumpkin spice lattes and creamers. And yeah, I can deal with pumpkin donuts and stuff like that, but we'll leave that for another story. But it is 77 degrees here in Ohio, and pretty much it's nice outside. And it was up, well, let me say, it's saying it's 77. At least that's what my computer's telling me. But my phone is telling me 81 degrees. So if I have to take a quick run out of here and a quick break, just bear with me because, as most of you know, we do have an elderly dog and he's having a lot of issues where he can't get off our couch or walk very well. So if he starts carrying on, then I got to split for a quick minute, you know, to go take care of him. But so tonight, you know, it's like every one of our Wednesday nights. I know when Ed does his show, he has a script and he stays to, you know, trying to stay on topic with all the stuff he wants to talk about. Me here, I just don't care. We can talk about whatever you want to because that's what we're here to do, is to chat and carry on. So I always schedule our show for about an hour and a half, but, you know, as I've said many, 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 many times before, hey, we can go longer. We might not be live. You might not be able to call in and talk to us then, but hey, we're still here for you. Okay, so that brings me to this. I was watching the news briefly before I came down to take care and get ready for the show, and all of these poor people, you know, we all have heard about the flooding, you know, the flooding that started with all the residents in Kentucky that got hammered with all that rain. And then you turn around and Dallas got hit, you know, and they said, from what I'm understanding, I could be wrong, so don't ever quote me on anything I say on here, that Dallas also have, there has been one fatality there that they know of or that they have said. Arizona got hit with a lot of rain. I know we talked last week with Robbie because he lives in Arizona and about Lake Powell and Lake Mead out there. And we talked about how the reservoirs, because that's where they get, you know, that helps produce a lot of their power, is very low. So we have to, you know, think about them because now they're getting low on water, but they did get a lot of rain. But again, they got a lot of rain all at one time. They need steady rain. Here in Ohio, we haven't gotten near as much rain as we usually do. And we had a couple good downpours for like a few hours and then it quit and we didn't have no rain. So we all know we need rain for everything, especially like poor gardens. I made the mistake and left my water, and we're on city water, left my water running in my garden for almost 2 hours, and I ended up having a $6,000 water bill. Not $6,000, sorry, 6,000-gallon water bill. So I've learned my lesson. I time it. I put it, you know, on my phone, so then it goes through my watch. But anyways, so, and then I noticed, again, like Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama was getting hammered with rain, too. So I feel for all those folks down there and everything that's going on down there with them. And I do hope that, you know, keep an eye on it. You know, watch if you're going, if you're scheduling your runs or loads to go that way, just be mindful of what's going on so you don't get stuck in the middle of a flooded road. Or, you know, you take a load to go down there and find out you get halfway down and the place is flooded and they're closed. So just be mindful of that. Okay, I do want to talk about a couple things. You know, I just kind of go off the cuffs with or without cuffs on that. I get these things online all the time through my email, and it's through some of the different trucking sites. But, you know, as y'all know, Greg does not go to New York, and most of the people that we talk to on a daily basis do not go to New York. But here's another reason why you don't want to go to New York. All right, New York cracks down on illegal parking. Trucking group says there's nowhere else to park. Yeah, where are they supposed to park when they go up? There's not that many truck stops the way I'm understanding it. This is considered down in New York City, okay? It says New York City is cracking down on illegal parking, parked commercial vehicles, and that state's trucking association has responded. New York City Mayor Eric Adams and the New York Police Department announced Operation Heavy Duty Enforcement, an overnight action against illegally parked commercial vehicles in neighborhoods of southern Queens. According to the statement from the mayor's office, this multifaceted effort is in response to community complaints and consists of three teams utilizing heavy tow operations, booting, and raiding tickets. Beginning on Monday, August 15, Operation Heavy Duty Enforcement deployed New York Police Department officers, traffic enforcement agents, to multiple locations across southern Queens. In the first 5 days of the operation, from August 15 through August 19, the New York Police Department issued 597 summons, attached 89 wheel clamps, and towed 55 illegally parked vehicles to temporary storage facility. If you parked commercial vehicles illegally, you will be ticketed, towed, or given the boot, said Adams. For far too long, large commercial vehicles have been parked illegally in this neighborhood, disrupting daily life and contributing to noise, traffic, and pollution. We cannot let our neighborhood streets turn into illegal parking lots. I want every New Yorker to know your city is looking out for you and your quality of life. According to Section 4-08K6 of the New York City parking rules, large commercial vehicles are prohibited from parking on residential streets overnight between the hours of 9 p.m. and 5 a.m., 7 days a week. The Trucking Association of New York says the problem can be solved not by issuing tickets and towing trucks, but by creating more truck parking. Kendra Hems, president of the association, responded to the city's actions. While we in no way condemn parking on residential streets where it is illegal to do so, we feel it is imperative to understand we cannot ticket out of this problem, said Hems in the statement posted to the TANI Facebook page. Heavy enforcement alone has not worked in the past and will not work now absent available commercial vehicle parking. The reality is that drivers, many of them are neighbors, family, and friends, simply have nowhere to park. This is not their personal vehicle, but the vehicle that embodies their livelihood and provides for their family. This is why the city must address the underlying issues of inadequate truck parking in the five boroughs. The industry is taking steps, but we cannot do this alone. We need our partners in government to dedicate the time and resources to resolve this problem. The industry must be part of the process, and we are eager to work with the administration to finally find meaningful, long-term solutions that benefit all New Yorkers, and drivers included. Now, I'm glad that this company, you know, up there is looking out for the drivers, but what I also have to say about this is this. This is not just a New York situation or New York problem. This is a trucking problem, period. whether you're in New York, you're in California, you're in Florida, you're in Texas, you're in Michigan, or you're in Ohio. It's all the way across the states, because every city, big city, you know, state, everybody has parking bans. You know, you can't, like in PA, you can't idle your truck. Well, let me tell you, it's 90 degrees outside, but you can't idle your truck, but you can sit in your house with your AC down to, you know, 50 degrees or whatever, staying cool. But you're telling that driver that is delivering the goods to your state that they can't idle their truck and stay cool. And that is their house when they're away from their, you know, permanent structure. So why is it good for one and not good for all? And then when you come down to the fact that there's no parking in some of these places, you know, PA included, this, like in Ohio, I mean, you guys see it more than I do, because as y'all know, I'm at home. So you guys see this more than I do when it comes to parking, but I'm around enough people, I know what the parking situation is. So when you're looking at this and you're seeing that there is no parking out there, that's because they close these trucks, these rest areas down, or they close the truck stops and they have all this paid parking. So let's dwell on that for just a minute. I know we're only 15 minutes into the show. I know. But we got to take a quick break. Like I told you, if the old man starts calling, I got to go take care of it. So I'm going to leave you with just this little instrumental.
That had a head full of dreams. I now a drifter with a pack of cigarettes in my jeans. I'm a one-man circus, says I'm walking the line. I lost a Chevy tank of gasoline in the state 69. I had the roof down, singing with my head in the sun. I never had a job, I just had plenty of fun.
Okay, I'm on my way back to the radio. How about that? I added a few little things to our dashboard here. So that was one of the things I added. I didn't realize. I thought it was just instrumental. I thought it was something to break up the monotony sometimes. So that was new to me. I didn't know it actually had words. I guess maybe I should listen to what I post, huh? Okay. But like I said, I had to go get the old man. So let's get back onto the topic here. Well, I can't even say topic, because what topics do I ever go by? So, but the parking situation, you know, Greg tells me all the time about everywhere he goes, it's paid parking. And it used to be like $15, and now it's up to like $20. I don't know if that's everywhere. So let us know if that is everywhere that you're seeing, that it's the same price, $20 everywhere, or whatever the price is. Go to our Facebook page and post what it is, or send us a message and let us know, because I'm really curious to find out what it costs to park at some of these locations. So that was one of the things I wanted to go over, because I thought that was like crazy when I read that earlier. So, all right, there were some other ones. Okay, here is, let's go back to the PA here. Okay, bill requiring bathroom access for truckers stalls in PA committee. Kills me. There has to be a bill so drivers can have a restroom? The effort by the Pennsylvania legislator to guarantee access to bathrooms for truckers has stalled for now. And the man who introduced it won't be back to continue seeking its passage. In March, Representative Jason Salvas, a Republican from Washington Township in South Central Pennsylvania, introduced a bill that would have required retail establishments, shippers, receivers, and port terminals to provide truck drivers restroom access when delivering and picking up goods during regular business hours. Bathroom access would have been enforced by the State Department of Health. The bill requires the department to issue a written notice for an initial violation, followed by a $300 fine for subsequent violations. In a memo accompanying the bill, Salvez wrote, truck drivers are often on the road without proper restroom facilities for many hours, with their first chance of a break coming when they are either picking up or dropping off a shipment. Allowing these drivers access to business facilities will prevent them from having to pull over on the highway, creating unsafe conditions for both themselves and other motorists. 13 other state legislators supported Salva's bill, which was assigned to the House of Representatives Transportation Committee. That's where it has remained. Salva said he tried and tried and tried to get the committee to act on it, but that didn't happen. He said legislators in the state have no desire to pass bills that include mandates. The future of the bill is in doubt, as Silva's won't be returning to Harrisburg when his term ends in November. He lost in a three-way part primary election in May. However, Silva's said he expects another legislator to advance the legislation in his absence. He urged truckers to contact their legislators and advocates for the bill's passage. And it goes on to say, Silva's legislation had the support of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and the Owner Operators Independent Drivers Association, which is great because, you know, a lot of you guys know, I mean, especially with the COVID issues, that everywhere you went, there was nothing for you. And there still is, and they're not going to change that. These companies aren't going to say, oh, yeah, go back to our break room. It's down the hall, blah, blah, blah. Some of them do have an area, you know, a bathroom for drivers. And then you get some of them that have just the porta-johns outside. You know what? If that's all they provide for you, at least they provide something. They might be nasty because we know most of them truckers out there can be very nasty. So, that is, you know, and it's hard to believe that some of these places do that to drivers, knowing that these drivers are who gets their product from point A to point B. But, you know, even though we don't need more bills and more legislations and more, you know, idiots in Washington telling us what we are to do and not to do. But if you get somebody that actually goes and works with you with something like this and pushes the issue and wants to fight for the driver to give them what, you know, you guys should automatically get without any question, that's what killed me. Because now you don't have anybody out there. I mean, I don't want to say you don't have anybody out there fighting, but you don't have nobody out there that's trying to make sure it happens. So, you know, it's great when we get people that actually want to work with us and help us do things, but how often does that happen? So, okay. Hey, you guys. They're down there trying to clean the dog's face, so that's always a good thing. That's just, yeah. Okay. I am looking. There was something else I wanted to talk about, and I can't find it. That's how it works, I guess. It's always right there when I find it. That's when I should always just print it off and be done with it. On August 22nd, which, you know, that was 2 days ago, a trucker narrowly dodges a bullet on Interstate 270 near St. Louis. So if you're out around St. Louis, people, just be careful because, you know, not good. Says a trucker narrowly missed being struck by a bullet while driving on Interstate 270 near St. Louis earlier this month. Kenneth Campbell told KMOV-TV he was driving home August 11th. Oh, sorry. So, see, this was just reported on. When a bullet struck the windshield of his truck and shattered the passenger side window. The bullet was found wedged in the passenger side door. 6 inches to the left, it would have been a headshot, said Campbell. The incident occurred on I-270 at the Lindbergh Overpass in Hazelwood. Wow. So I guess it was something, you know, still happening. People still shooting it, you know, it'll never stop. Unfortunately, it will never stop. So have any of you ever been shot at out there on the road? I know when the strikes went on, there was a lot of trucks that was shot at. Because the guys would go and paint or, you know, put stuff on their trucks, stating empty going home, you know. And then there's some of you that wasn't driving when that whole, you know, strikes were going on, especially the ones that were really bad. Like the one back in late 70s, early 80s. That was probably, you know, of course, I wasn't driving then either. But I was driving when the one back in the 90s. No, I take that back. I wasn't driving then, but I was a part of that because of my dad and all of our trucking people around here. I'm sorry, my eyes are itching. My allergies are flaring up. Oh, change of seasons. When things start going awry, I get all kinds of screwy. Okay. So, like I said, I don't have much to talk about because, you know, I hate talking about everything that's in the news because it's just depressing, as always. So, but I know I am definitely getting prepared for the truck show, and I've talked about it a half a dozen times before. In Millhall, PA. And I do want to take, you know, a chance to say that one of our great sponsors is making sure that we're able to make it there. So, which is great because, you know, it's always nice to have those sponsors out there that will reach out and actually, you know, say, yeah, I'll help you out. Let's see, when do you need this stuff by so we can get it taken care of? So, shout out goes out to DPF Regeneration and Miss Hattie Rollins for helping us make sure that we're able to get to the show and be there in order to, I don't want to say, you know, promote Redneck and I's, but I'm going to say that we're going to be there in order to network our group to a different type of people in a way. Because these people out there, I want to be able to talk to more. So it is great that we're going to be able to be there. So I actually put in a call to Jason, that is the one who puts on the show out there in Mill Hall, to see about scheduling him to come on the radio show one day next week. So I'm hoping that I can get that taken care of and get that all set up for next week. So if, you know, it might be one of those things where Ed and I both are on doing this with him because it all depends on what night he's going to be able to do it. So that is something we're going to have to talk about and see what we can do. But I'm hoping I can get that set up for us so we can talk to Jason. And if anybody has questions, they can call in and talk to him because I know they're doing all kinds of great stuff out there and all kinds of vendors. And it's not one of those truck shows where you walk in and there's, you know, literally – you walk into a building and all there is recruiters and stuff like that. No, it's just vendors, literally vendors, you know, craft people and I don't even know what else. I know they have somebody there that's going to be doing crafts. There's going to be somebody there that's going to have different types of homemade soaps and salsas and jellies and jams. Go on their website, check it out. Check out their Facebook page. It is truckersforhope.org. I believe, let me double check before I say that, and they are Truckers for Hope on Facebook, because I'm pretty sure it's truckersforhope.org. Oh, sorry, truckersforhope4.com. So, and like I said, we will be there. Greg is taking the truck, and get this, I think I may actually have my dad convinced to come out with his truck too, only because he wants to pull it and do a dyno and do the truck drag race. So if you guys all know my dad, you know, just a few of you too, and you know how he is with his truck, and he is totally opposite of Greg when it comes to his truck, but it is, you know, maintained. Might not look the prettiest, but it does run. He wants to try out that new 13-speed he's going to be putting in it. But anyways, so he wants to come out and do that. So I think it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a little bit of a break because it's not going to be the same old stuff that we've always done. You know, they have their things that they do, and we're just going to be there. We're just going to be there just to relax and enjoy a truck show and check it out and see if this is how, you know, how we're doing ours. So remember, because we do have that show that we're trying to put together and plan, and it's kind of at a stall thing right now because the people that I've been trying to reach out to, they're with other doing other things. I actually have another interview with Trucker Tools tomorrow. So that's a plus because we're reaching out to them too. I got the packet ready to send to them. So to start getting sponsorship put together for the truck show in July of 2024. I would really like to have it later in the year, but it's not going to happen. Only for the fact I don't want to do July. But when you get a venue, and that's about the only place that you can really get, you know, the time frame that you can get into it for, you know, because we definitely don't want to go too cold. We don't want to go too warm. We want to be able to go, you know, comfortable type of year. And July is just maybe one of that comfortable area. So, you know us. We're redneckanized. We overcome and we adapt. So, and this is what we'll do for then too. So, I was going to say something. You know how you have the squirrel moments? Just like, shoo, gone. Yeah. That's where that went. Okay. Like I said, Jason's going to be on next week. Let's see. And I have the interview with Trucker Tools tomorrow. Because what they want to do, they have, let me see. I'm going to pull those up if I can find them. Yeah, crud. Okay, I got to look here. They have questions they want to know, you know, because what it is they do, they've done this with us before. called and asked, and, you know, we did, like, little interviews with Ed and I have done them with him before, which I really want to get some of you guys, other guys that is part of our whole group to do these also, because I think it'd be a good time for everybody to be able to reach out a little bit more. So, really? I'm trying to go to my other email and it keeps kicking me back to my business email. Oh, that's where that email went. I knew I did something wrong earlier, but anyways, okay, sorry, I was sending an email because, as you guys know, I was signing Greg's trailer on his flatbed because he's going back to pull steel again, and I was doing that, and somehow when I went to send an email to one of the people from the company, I ended up sending it from a redneckanized email. She's probably thinking, redneckanized? Yeah, I didn't really, and I was trying to find the email because I had to print paperwork off and I couldn't find it. So, okay, so here are some of the questions that they want to know. Let me see if I can copy and paste because I want to be able to, I got to kind of read over these anyway so I can figure out exactly what I'm going to have to tell her tomorrow. Okay, give me just a sec, guys. I know, I'm just, as always, me, I'm all over the place. Okay. You know how you try to work your computer and you get, you know, try to do the separate screens and try keeping everything in one place? I can never seem to do that. Everything I do usually is everywhere. Okay. All right, some of the questions that she's asking, and maybe you guys, you know, this might be a couple, these are a couple good questions that, can ask you, because I know I see, and I have Robbie on and I have Jeff on. Maybe you guys can answer these questions for me, and that would work out nice, because then I can say, hey, this is what some of our guys had to say about this. All right, let me print this off so I have it. And print. Okay, hopefully, cross my fingers, my printer's gonna work. Yes. The other day I was fighting with it, and I threatened to throw it outside. And guess what? It started working. I don't know what that was about, but, you know, I guess throwing it outside and then telling it is going to be shot works. Hey, guess what, Robbie? All right, I spoke too soon. Thumper heard it, but he was a little bit late. Okay, some of these questions that they're asking, here's the first one. How has 2022 so far been different than 2021? Well, let me tell you. My aspect on it, just from what I do here, one of my things are going to be this, that 2022 has been by far the worst when it comes to freight rates and fuel prices, okay? And it goes, next one is, how are you dealing with the high operating cost? Heck, most of the time, everybody sits at home because they can't afford to be out there, or like Robbie, taking another side, you know, another part-time job because he's not getting the rates that he needs to haul the material. Okay, the next one is, what tips do you have for owner ops and small trucking companies for keeping expenses as low as possible? Don't use brokers. Next one, what do you expect from this year's peak season? There's a peak season in trucking? Wow, that's the first one on me, right? What are you hearing from truckers about current market? That it sucks. And what do you think 2023 will be for the truckers? Okay, with those questions, and Robbie, I could swear I just heard your seen your hand up. Okay, sorry, I was reading questions, so I wasn't paying attention. So let me hear from you guys. What do you guys think? Give me your answers on some of these questions or your thoughts on some of these questions. I would love to hear it. While we're thinking of that and thinking about some answers to these questions, we're going to take a quick little break here, and we are going to go to one of our great sponsors, which is Load to Ride.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Thank you, Load to Ride. Okay, so, like I said, one of the questions was, how has 2022 so far been different than 2021? Like I'm going to have to say the difference between it for the trucking aspect, in my view, freight prices has dropped. Fuel prices have went up. And there's a lot less freight for the number of trucks on the road. And how are the drivers dealing with these costs, high operating costs? They're sitting more in order to get a better paying load in order to cover some of it. Or they are literally just jumping on any load that they can in order to get that money and to be able to make ends meet, because that's most what all drivers are doing right now, is just making ends meet, just making just enough in order to pay their bills. And sometimes their trucks, their equipment might suffer a little bit because they have to be able to put food on the table for their kids at home. Okay, and what tips do you have for owner operators in smaller trucking companies for keeping expenses as low as possible? Shorter runs, lighter weight, better pay. These longer runs from, you know, over 1,000-mile runs, and the load pays, you know, $3,500 for almost, let's say, 43,000 pounds, you're not making any money in the long run on that. Because if you break it down and you do the numbers, you take out, you know, your cost per mile to figure out what your cost per mile is. When you get that cost per mile and it's under $2, I ran numbers on a load and it was like 77 cents a mile. And some of these drivers out there, because if you're a company driver and you're running by mileage, you want those longer runs because you're going to make more money. But if you're not being paid by mileage, why do you want those longer runs? You want that shorter run that, you know, you can pick up today and you can deliver in the AM tomorrow, or pick up today and deliver the same day. Those are the runs that all drivers should be looking for, not these, you know, 1500 mile runs for $2,500 or $3,500. No. And so, I mean, that's the way we look at it, but, you know, we've been here doing this for many years, so it's kind of one of those things that we do. But when I run the numbers for loads for drivers, it is, I take the mileage and I incorporate the deadhead miles and what it would, you know, possibly be for deadheading to their next load. I incorporate all of that in, because with all of that, you take that and you take the fuel surcharge for the week, you know, the estimated. Usually right now, I'm going to say probably 75 cents, 74 cents a mile. Okay. So you multiply that, comes up with what fuel is going to come out of the money. Now, unless you're with one of those companies that the fuel is already off of it, then you don't have to worry about it, because that fuel, you don't have to worry about taking that fuel off. But you still want to know what they're averaging, what that fuel should be. Because if they're paying you, you know, 74 cents, you know, on fuel surcharge, so you take that off the miles, because that's how they're figuring it out. And you take that. You set it aside. You want to see what theirs is. If it's real close, then okay, usually it's a little bit over what you come up with. But then you take out the percentage that your company is paying that you get. Like us, we get 76%, unless I book the load and it's 82. So you take that and you, you know, multiply that from the gross of the load. That'll give you what you're taking home. So then to get your cost per mile, what it's going to cost you per mile, you take the mileage and you divide that in what you're taking home with you. Okay. That gives you your cost per mile. So it can fluctuate. You want those shorter runs, better pay. Because if you take a run, like there's a run that Greg can possibly do. It's a drive-in. It doesn't start until September. But it is, you know, from East Liverpool to Cambridge, which is 80 miles, and back. So that's 160 miles for a trip. $850 per load. So that's $1,600 a day if he can get it on and off at both ends the same day. It all depends on the shipping, how long it takes. So that ended up, that load ended up, when I ran the numbers on it, I'm looking where I wrote it down, and I don't think I kept that. It was like three something a mile. And that was on one way, okay? Mind you, one way. Because I didn't incorporate the load coming back. So actually, because when she first told me about it, it was from Cambridge to East Liverpool. But when she talked to Greg about it, there was another one going out. So she was loading out of here, going out and back and forth. So I did that on just 160 miles because I added the deadhead of 80 miles to Cambridge. So it came out to, I think, $3.43 a mile. So if you got a load going both ways, heck yeah, that's a good run and home every night. Okay, so the peak season in trucking, I'm just wondering, what do you guys consider that being a peak season? Is that around Christmas time, and what's that going to benefit? Who's that benefiting? You know, you get drive-ins are going to benefit from it. If you can get in with the right company that's going to have you doing all those expedited loads of product being shipped because of everybody making all their orders and placing orders online and getting everything into the stores and stuff like that. Okay, so that was one of their other questions. So that was one I need to, you know, get a little bit more clarification, because I don't see too much of a peak season in the trucking industry. That's the only time I think that's the best part, you know, and towards the end of the year, it's always a little bit better because they're trying to get all their inventory that they've already purchased that's still sitting waiting to be delivered because they didn't need it right now. They're trying to get it in because they need it for the end of the year. Okay, and what are you hearing from truckers about the current market? So I see Robbie's got a hand, or no, Jeff. Sorry, I'm looking at, got my glasses off. So I'm going to bring Jeff on. Hold on. Hello, Mr. Jeff. How are you?
Howdy. Well, I'm good. How are you doing? I sounded like you were trying to get me or Robbie to hit the one, and I was eating supper, so I thought, I'm just going to wait and let Robbie talk. But
he was on there, and
anyway.
I don't know. He may have got a call or something and slipped. So, but yeah, I try pulling people in, especially if I know the number. So, and yours and Robbie's, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, they were between 21 and 22. My God, you know, you're right. The freight, what should be higher prices, and there for a while, freight was doing good. I mean, the prices
right.
were holding, everything was good. Fuel charge, you know, surcharge was high enough. It was covering my fuel. But man, my boss was talking to her yesterday and today, and she says, it's just like right before, like days before holiday. She goes, there is nothing. She goes, there's nothing on the boards. There's just nothing. I've never seen so dead.
Oh, I know.
So I would say peak season will be sometime after November, after midterms are over with. I think peak season will be about that time.
Yeah, that's what Greg kind of said, too. He thinks it's going to be more around then than it is anything, so.
I think people are getting kind of worried. I mean, they watch. I've turned out news. I quit watching news. It's just too damn depressing. But every once in a while, I catch a tidbit. You know, like eating just now, I just saw on the screen some of the stuff going on. And if people are following that stuff, I think people are worried. I really do. They, you know, we got a president that would rather throw away trillions of dollars. You know, clearly, you know, not worried about the little people. You know, truck drivers, he ain't much concerned about. You know, I don't think he's worried about anybody else eating or sleeping or drinking or anything. You know, he's taken care of. Him and his son are cracking these deals. And it's a scary, scary situation, I think. I don't know. I was looking forward to 2022 being one of my best years ever. But, boy, I tell you what, it's got to pick up. It's dead.
Yeah. I know that.
So, I looked at that website. That I'm hoping, you know, I mean, hoping to go to that. And I see you guys out there. I know I talked to Holly about it a little bit, and I'd sure like to go out there. It'd be fun to go to a fun truck show instead of one where everybody's having to hide themselves inside of a trailer and too cold to do anything. Show management that, here again, don't care nothing but themselves. So,
right, and that's,
it'd be fun.
Yeah, talking to Jason, when I spoke to him before, you know, he's a really nice guy, and he's down to earth, and he drives truck every day. So that's what makes it nice is the fact that he's still, you know, trying to do what he can too.
Yeah.
And be able to put this on, so that's one thing I like about it because – that's somebody that we've never talked to before. So he actually might give us some good insight on getting some, you know, different things going and what we want to do. But he's going to hook us up with some connections, so that's a plus.
So is Redneck and I is planning on all parking together, kind of being like we were at Matt's, or?
What it is they will have a truck area because we're taking our camper out there to stay in it for the weekend. So they'll have a truck parking area. And they said, you know, I know for campers, they said, if you want to be all parked together to come in together. So the trucks, they're having a truck convoy coming in, I believe. They'll have an area where you can drop your trailers and leave your trailers sit. And then they'll have a spot where you can be part of the show and be in the lineup for lights and all that type of stuff. So.
So that's quite answering me. So the campers can't park with the trucks. Is that it?
That's right. There's an actual campground for the campers.
Okay.
Basically, you know, no, nobody will really be parked together. I guess I could have been more specific on that answer, huh?
All right. So how far away is, like truck parking to where the campground parking is? Because I'm sure we're all going to be still gathering around where y'all, where the camper's at, right?
Yeah, more than likely. And I'm not real sure.
That's where the truck area is. You take your golf cart over to us, you know. Huh?
I'm not really sure how far it is from point A to point B.
All right. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, that I'm not sure.
We can figure that out. Sounds like fun. Do you know or anything more about it? I mean, are they going to have, like, any handicap rental stuff or anything like that?
I don't know, Jeff.
All right.
Yeah, I haven't heard nothing or seen anything about that, so couldn't really tell you.
All right.
Oh, look, I'm going to bring Robbie on. Hold on.
On your back.
Hello,
What's
Robbie.
What's going on? No, I was on, I clicked on, you weren't seeing things, and then I clicked myself off because I had to go in and load.
Oh.
I blew two O-rings on my APU. For the AC side.
Oh, that's not good.
No, I was like, why does it smell like Freon in here? This ain't good.
Huh.
I'm going to get high.
Yeah.
No, to your question, what freight's been like from last year, it's junk right now.
Yeah.
And you were all right. That's why I try to do a part-time gig at home, and it's just, it keeps me busy. It gives me a little bit of cash in my pocket, but it's not nothing like what my truck can make.
Right.
But, yeah, all I deal with is brokers all the time. And some brokers are good. Some brokers are you can have a struggle with.
Huh.
A real struggle. Which you've probably dealt with that and Greg,
true.
So.
Yeah. As soon as I get him set up on something that he can go from this area to Indianapolis and back a couple times a week, it falls apart because the one on the other end, he gets COVID. So instead of calling me and letting me know these things, he doesn't say nothing to me.
Yeah.
So is Greg running under his own authority now?
No. No, the company that he's leased to, we can do brokerage freight, which is what they mostly do anyways. So we were setting up, and I was loading him with, out of different companies. So, but yeah, even trying to find the better paying rate loads and everything else, it's hard. It's hard to find anything that's worth anything out there.
Well, yeah, you know, in my business, I did tow away, and even the brand new trailer manufacturers now are wanting us to haul these trailers for $1.13 a mile. Oh, but sir, go ahead and load them up. Take a load with it, you know. Well, they
right.
Go to the other end, drop the load off, go to the dealer, and the dealer says, I heard a new trailer, not a used one.
Yeah.
So you can't please everybody, and like I say, the rates. What you can find ain't so good right now.
I know it.
But I'm tired of sitting at home.
Well, Greg's been home since last week because the load that I had for him that we should have had for him that the idiot screwed up on would have put him coming right back over to Butler, PA. Well, it fell through, not once, but twice. So he ended up just deadheading in because I could find nothing for him last week to come in from Indianapolis. And, you know, you would think a bigger city like that, you would find stuff. Nope. I was even looking out to where, you know, because if he would have stayed down around Louisville where he delivered at, there was all kinds of freight coming up from down there. But we were told, oh, yeah, I got your load from the morning. He can load it in the morning. And then as he's on his way to go to Louisville or to Indianapolis, the load cancels because somebody booked it on him.
What they were doing, what I call, they were truck shopping.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what Greg said, too. And I was like, I don't know. They knew how many of these that we had that we wanted. So it kind of threw me when this happened, but I don't know. I was just looking because Greg told me, he says, oh, I should be home here in a little bit. Because my daughter's boyfriend works at Hills up here, the international dealer. Well, he stopped up at my dad's yesterday, and he changes clutches is what Nick usually does. And Nick was telling him about a clutch that, you know, is sitting down there that they can have because the guy that had it in his truck, it was too stiff for him. He didn't like pushing that heavy-duty clutch. And all they do, when they take clutches and all that stuff out of trucks, and this one, I guess, isn't very old. When they take the parts off, they just put them in the scrap hopper, and they scrap them. Well, it was still sitting there when Nick got to work today, and he was working a double, and he sent me a message. He's like, tell Greg to come up after 5 o'clock and pick this clutch up, because it'll fit in Dad's, Greg's. Okay, yeah, if it's almost brand new clutch, why not? We've gotten many a new parts from down there over the years, or relatively new parts. Just because people come in there as mechanics and take them off because they don't want them or don't like the way that they feel or work or, you know. One time they had a guy in there that came in and had all new brakes put on his truck, and he says, put all new drums on it too. And the drums weren't that old, but the guy had just bought the truck and he didn't want it. He wanted everything new on it to be sure. So my dad got up one morning, went up on the hill, and we start doing something. There was 4 drums sitting outside the shed.
Huh. So when did Greg get COVID?
Greg didn't have COVID.
Oh, I was
the guy that we were dealing with the loads out in Indianapolis, he got COVID.
Oh, okay.
And that was why he didn't email me back for a week. Oh, no, it's fine, Jeff. I didn't hear from him for a week, and then, you know, on this past Friday, he's emailing me and calling me. I got this, 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 and this. I don't know what to tell you. He's not out there. I don't know when he's going to get back out there or if he is going to go back out there. I said, because he's in the process right now. We're getting our other trailer put on because he's going back to pulling steel. If nothing wants to stay together with the other, then he'll go back to doing this. So.
Well, he's got the equipment. He can haul about anything.
Yeah, and it makes him more, you know, versatile because the lady that he's going to be dealing with mostly, so I'll be out of this whole dispatching thing, and you know what? I'm okay with that. It was okay to do Donnie because, you know, Donnie was easygoing, and he's like, just as long as I'm making money, I'm good. Greg, on the other hand, yeah. Like, y'all know how Greg is.
Well, I've kind of come down to it, and I think he kind of agrees with me. Hurley did it because he
was
making way the stupid money. Now he's back to reality, I'm going to say. And now it's shit. Now what do I do? These people are stupid. Now it's stupid cheap.
And you know what? You're going to find this pretty humorous, Robbie, because you know the whole thing with all that. He actually says, I wish I wouldn't have quit out there.
What, with Hurley?
Yes.
You know, I think we've had that conversation probably 2 or 3 times. You should have just put up with the bullshit and stayed there.
Yes.
And life would be really nice right now for him, but you know how Greg is in his attitude.
Don't I know
not, I'm surprised he hasn't chimed in yet. What is he doing? Is he up at that kitchen counter, or is he up on top of the hill?
He's not even. No, I was looking because I told him, I says I got the radio show because I called him to remind him to stop at Hills and get that clutch. And he's like, yeah. I'm going to get ready to go up there. Your dad and I were just talking about it because. Did he tell you yesterday about the front end of the tractor coming off, almost coming off of the bolts?
Yeah, he said that he had to chase down bolts, and I guess he had to go to Salem or something.
Oh, yeah, to get
about
the bits. Yeah,
to go get bits and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, they found another one sheared off on the other side when Dad went to torque it down today. Well, anyway, so he was over there helping Dad with that all day. And he said, all right, he said, as soon as, you know, your dad, because Dad had to go get fuel footer because he bought the wrong one for the tractor. So he says, when he gets back, he says, I'm going to finish helping do all this stuff here, and then I'm going to run pick that up, and then I'll be home. I was like, well, I got the radio show at 7. He's like, oh, I should be home, you know, around then or a little after. And as you all see, you see what time it is. And I look to see where he is, and he was clear out in freaking Lisbon at the hotel.
He's taking a side chick out there.
I know, right? But, so, I have no clue what he was doing, which is kind of strange. I don't know what he would have been doing going out there, because he left for my dad's and went out there.
No.
So, who knows?
He wants to go have a nice tea is what he went to go have. He was thirsty. He was thirsty.
Well, the bad thing was, I thought that was what he was doing. I'm thinking, you know what, you ass, if you go out there without me, because that's not far from where, you know, the good place is.
Yeah, where you get hammered, right?
I know, right? Whew. I'm just glad I wasn't driving
Rick
that night.
Rick sent me a picture of you. You're a hammered drunk.
Yes, I was.
Oh, wait, this is a family learning show. We shouldn't be talking about that.
That's all right. There's three of us on here. We've all been to there. But
I wish the thing would just take free on.
So what, did one of the, you said you, was it a seal or an O-ring?
O-ring.
Oh.
It's done it to me twice. Because I had to build AC lines, and they keep splitting.
Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, gotta love those things. You have that sometimes.
Yeah, when they work, they work. When they work good. When they don't work, they...
Yeah.
Or pain in the ass.
This is true. It's like we have to take the camper before we go out the mill hall in September and get the AC done on it. But they have to retrofit the one for the cab and have to put a port or whatever it is, an adapter, on the one on the roof air. So... Because, you know,
which
it's
is not hard to retrofit it. All you're doing is pulling out a Schrager valve and putting an R4 134 cap on it.
Yeah. Ow, Teddy. That's my back you're digging into. But, yeah.
But
so,
one thing I did, it just came to mind, is you need to tell Greg, is you might want to put a little electric fan on that condenser, especially when you're sitting still.
On what, for the cab or for the one on the roof?
On the cab. Because that condenser is a R12 condenser, and the fin count is more spread apart versus a 134.
Right.
There's more fin count. I've done a couple of my vehicles to 134, and that's at an idle, it'll warm up, but once you get cruising... It'll cool off.
No, which won't be too bad because we won't be sitting in, you know, going from here out there, and we use it the first time.
For probably for what you guys are going to use it for. If we ever do go down to Matt's, you won't really need an AC.
You're right. But Greg flatly refused to ever go back there. And I was like, well, we can just go down there to BS. He's like, nope. He says, I ain't giving that man a dime or nobody in his thing a dime for nothing.
Well, we're not giving them a dime when they hand out free tickets.
This is true.
All we're doing is spending our own fuel money.
Yep. So. But yeah, so that's what I've been working on, is trying to get that stuff ready for the camper and for that show. And but I got this tomorrow at, crap, I think at 10 a.m. Maybe I should check my calendar and see, because I don't remember. But they reach out, their blog people reach out usually once a year wanting to do interviews. So. But I thought it was a good thing to talk about tonight in order to get some questions answered and what you guys think, so. But have you guys heard anything about the market coming up and being better for the truckers?
I've seen fuel go up. That's the only thing I've seen go up.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I don't see, you know, where a lot of these things are going to make anything better. Because it's kind of just, you know, the same everywhere. I don't know. But my favorite question on this whole thing is, what do you think 2023 will be like for truckers? Hopefully a heck of a lot better than 2022 was.
I hope so.
Depends how midterms turn out.
Yeah.
Because right now I'm on underneath my RGN right now. I'm underneath my RGN right now. I've seen loads for $2 a mile.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
It cost me, between all my equipment, it cost me $225 to move my truck.
Yeah.
How am I making any money?
You're right, Robbie.
I had one of my agents, the one that I deal with a lot. She called me on one, or texted me on one today, and I told them that they needed to come up about another $2,000, and they didn't go for it.
Huh. Well, I know there was some brokers that I told them, you know, you have to come up on the money at least by this much, and they're like, well, we can't do that. And I was like, well, then we can't haul it. But that's a good rate. I was like, yeah, in your world. I said, but in the driver's world, it's not. I don't know. It's just crazy.
I always tell them, good luck.
Yeah. Keep
good
my
luck.
Number.
The problem with it.
You, higher.
You got the problem is that $2 that Robbie, you know, quoted him on his load, there's fools out there that say, well, God, I got to keep running. I ain't going to make, you know, I got to go. I'm going to take it.
That's, oh, yeah.
We're getting the people to haul this junk. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If people would be, you know, smart and say, God, we just can't do it. I don't know. I've known truckers in the past that say, well, a dime's a dime, you know. As when it costs you money to pull their shit, you shouldn't pull it. When I can make more money sitting still than I can to move, I'm not moving. I'm sorry.
Right. And that's the whole thing is, a lot of these drivers out here, they're not seeing that. They're just seeing, you know, as long as I'm moving freight, I'm making money. But when you start breaking it down, you're not making that much money in order to warrant even moving the load.
You know,
you're going to have to take
a junk load to get somewhere. You know, at least hopefully it will cover your fuel, but when it's costing you money, it's not feasible.
Right.
Unless the load right after the one you're taking pays enough to cover the cost on the load that you took to get there and make money, then I've done that in the past. But I know those three guys that said, I'll run for anything. Not one of them own a truck anymore and aren't in the trucking business. So,
yeah, I had about probably a half hour in conversation with this agent that I deal with a lot. I've been dealing with her for the last couple of years. And she's had about a dozen drivers either quit or go local because they can't do it. It's just from this year. They just can't do it anymore.
Well, we used
it's
to
been
have
a rough year.
It's very rough. And Greg even did tell me when I was looking at an RGN, no, shop around a little bit. I went and looked at a trailer, and I bought it. And now I can't sell it.
Why?
Yeah.
No one has no money. There's a lot of RGNs for sale right now. A lot.
And that's only because the freight form isn't paying anything more than what general freight is. Used to be, you had an RGN, you were sitting in the big bucks because it paid well to own one.
Yeah, you're making anywhere from $6 to $10 a mile on any given day.
Exactly.
Not a problem. Now you can't even get $4 a mile right now. It's hard to get $4 a mile right now.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to pay.
Wow.
I just hauled a brand new D5 dozer, and I know Caterpillar, they're really stuck, but it was still $320 a mile. I made some on it, but I didn't make a killing.
Right. Yeah, that's a bad thing because I've seen, you know, of course, you know, we know a lot of people in the industry and we have seen a lot of them with the specialized stuff. You know, I'm just wondering, just like with Donnie with the step deck. Yeah, step deck isn't quite as specialized as the detached like what you have, but you don't want to haul just coils on a step deck. You know, you need to have a little bit more.
He's able to do a little bit of everything on a step.
Right. But, like, what he, you know, because Donnie hasn't done much of anything large because he's always dealt with, you know, a flatbed. And he's did step deck here and there, but nothing, you know, major. Because when we were pulling the RGN for Tom, and it was a stretch, and that thing was heavy, and it was the mechanical. Anyways, Greg's here. But Donnie didn't want to do that type of stuff because he was afraid of it because he didn't know what to do with it. And I'm just wondering if the stuff that he does now, if he actually gets into other things other than just general steel.
Because with the step deck, you can run general freight and you can run, you know, something that's probably 10 foot tall, 8 foot, 10 to maybe 12 pushing it, depending on how high his deck is. But like me, I can go all the way up. 13 foot will put me right at limit. But it all depends on your, the loaded deck height too.
Yeah, I don't know what his is, because he's got low pro 22.5s on the trailer, I believe. So
it's probably a normal step deck. He could probably go up to 11 foot, and that's probably about max. Now, when I was in Pecos, Texas, I parked next to a guy. He had it looked like probably about a 20 to 22 inch deck height. His was a lot taller than mine, but he was on, I think he had 3 and a flip. He had his flip up, so that's 4. I mean, he was he could do 8 he would have 8 axles on the ground.
Right.
He had a drop axle on the truck too, so.
Well, that's like, you know, Greg's friend Kenny Moon. He's got, you know, the flip, and he's got the extra axles on the truck too. And he hauls a lot more of the heavier stuff, as we've talked about before.
Yeah. Get him, Claire. Get him.
Guess who's home? You want to say hi?
What?
Robbie and...
What? What's up, Chicken Lollipop?
You know what's up, Todd Richard?
Chicken Lollipop. What are you doing, Richard?
Working.
No, you're not.
Some PGT driver up. Truck broke down. Do some dirty. We had to go up days in. They couldn't put it up for days in.
Well, that's
because
they don't
want to
put any more
of that. He said, well, we was going to call. I was going to call an Uber. Chad said, you ain't going to get an Uber around here. He said, well, try to stay anywhere. I said, Chad, where's you going? He pulled the address up. He said, give it. It's DBC or something. He said, I'll stay around 154. I said, that's all right. Glasses.
What?
I gotta get their glasses. I get back in. I put that clutch up, put it back in the truck. He was busy, and I grabbed it off and went to pick it up. Heavy, that's an easy button. Brand new clutch. So I picked it up, dropped it off the tailgate. I just dropped it. It hit the toe of the boot. Now, sir, my glasses fell off. I rolled over on them. Yeah.
I tell you what. And he was teasing me about stepping on my glasses. He throws a clutch on his.
Ah, it is what it is.
Where'd you break them at?
Pull them up the white certain way. They look like your phone does.
Oh, yeah. Especially right there.
The arm piece. I'm straightening them out.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, they're all searched. Or
at the bottom of
spider.
Them.
Spider. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, you're out of spares, so.
Yeah,
sorry. Huh.
That is what it is.
I tell
you. What's everybody doing?
Well, I'm trying to fix my APU.
Huh.
He had a couple
of... I blew two O-rings on it.
What, AC?
Yep.
Huh. So what's Jim doing?
He was eating supper.
Dry out on the road. Dealing
really?
With junk.
Dealing with junk?
Well, I had a trailer last week. Didn't have an inspection on it. And took it to Lowe's because it had 2 broken lights on top. And when right before I got the Lowe's, the company sent me a bogus DOT inspection. Oh, we found it. Here it is. Well, too late. Lowe's had already inspected it.
Yeah.
And said, well, you got 48 rivets gone on the side of the trailer. And if you have more than 2 in a row that's broke or gone, that's out of service violation.
Right.
And your one brake shoes are shot. And your hinge is broke, and your ABS ain't working.
Huh.
So called Road Breakdown, and they approved $1,100 to fix it. So they went and started working on the ABS first, couldn't make it work. They said that was a new module.
Yep, I was going to say computer module.
They call, try to get parts, couldn't find parts. And then they just quit working on everything else. And I said, what the hell? I says, you've been approved for $1,100 on everything else. Work on everything else. And then worry about the module later. You know, take the old one off, get the part number, and order one.
Right.
I says, I said, didn't you take the old one off? No. I said, my God, how are you going to order one? You got a part number. You got to take the old one off. And I really don't think they did this, you know, yet. So anyway, all that went on. Northberg Van Line did not want to pay me 4 days or 3 days of detention layover pay. So they said, well, take them off the load. So that was kind of fun going into Love's. Traders in their bay saying, well, I've been cut from the load since you guys fiddle farted all day. See ya. They go, whoa. You're not leaving that trader in our bay. I go, yeah, I am. Sure am. And I drove back home. I went, you know, 260 miles home.
Huh.
Well, they called Tuesday. That was Monday. Monday wasn't ready yet. Tuesday morning, they called the company, and somebody said the trader was done. So they said they brought me 265 miles back to pick up the trader. I walk around it. There ain't no DOT sticker on it yet. Go in and talk to Loves. Oh, no. We've been trying to get a hold of Kentucky Trader for 3 days now, and they won't answer or call us back. Huh. I said, so you still don't know what module? No, we got to talk to them. I said, so that trader won't be done for another week or so. Yeah, probably. Well, here's the thing. It's got somebody's furniture on the back. So whoever's waiting to move into their house has got to wait until somebody pulls their head out of their ass. And then North America don't want to unload it to another trader because it's loaded nose to tail.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been paying a truck order not used and drove away from it. They sent me to a place to pick up a tanker to take over to Henry. You know, the rate was decent on it. But I get there, and that inspection was 2 months expired. So I tell you, I've been doing a lot of setting. And then my my brother-in-law passed away and had to go and help out, support my wife on that. So I was a week off the road. So yeah, I was really planning on getting this truck paid for this year, but the way the freight prices have dropped and trader, you know, all that, the fuel prices are still holding pretty high, but
right.
Fuel surcharges have come down. You know, it's just getting really hard.
It's tough, man. It's,
so I don't know.
That's what I've been doing.
If we don't take over.
I got it. Got my flat inspected last night. My Costoga, I got it inspected last night. She got it leased on today, and we got it signed on. So I'm ready to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to take it and go out and start running it again for a while. Run it and the dry van both. So whatever she's got, that's what I'll hook to.
Damn it. You're going to have to work again.
Well. I got to do something.
Run that Conestoga. That's a little harder than.
Do you need some? Do you want me to give
Robbie,
you a flatbed 101 again?
Don't start no shit, Robbie. There won't be none.
come on, man. You know it's just all fun games until someone gets hurt. No one's gotten hurt yet.
But what he said the other day, Robbie, you'll like this. He said. He told Chad, the vice president, he's like, yeah, I'm starting to get fat, so I need to go back and doing some manual labor.
You need to get started so I can get some of the belly work done. Get my fat ass back to work and do something. Quit swinging doors all the time.
You know, the bad thing about that flatbed in there, Greg, don't you need your glasses to make sure everything's secure on it?
Oh, I got
no, he needs his glasses to drive down the road.
Well, I got them. They're okay. I can wear them. They're not destroyed. They're just a couple little places got scratched and chipped around the bottom of them. But I can still see them. I get in this weekend.
All right.
I'll be home again this weekend for the weekend, and I'll have to go up this weekend and get a new pair. I got my prescription.
Well, that's not if your dispatcher doesn't get you a load.
Huh?
You need to get your dispatcher on a load.
No, my dispatcher ain't dispatching me no more. I fired her ass.
You didn't fire me. I quit.
I fired her ass. I got another dispatcher now. And if she drops the ball, I'll be firing her too. I'm gonna be like Trump. You're fired.
all fun and games inside the head.
All right, gentlemen. I'm going to let her get back to the show with you. I'm going to go up and get my...
You need to go up to the kitchen and call the radio show and hit one.
No. I need to go up to the shower and find me some soap and water is what I need to do. I ain't been sitting
on my ass. Well, there's a shower right down the hall, right across the room there.
Yeah, I just went down and picked up a clutch down at Hills. Guy had a brand new easy pedal put in his truck and had it in there a week. Said he didn't like it. It was too hard to push. It did too hard to push. He went and bought another brand new one out of them. They put it in, took the other one out. It wasn't in there but a week. He said, that clutch ain't there. There ain't a damn thing wrong with that clutch. So they was going to put it in the scrap. And Nick asked me, he said, you want it? I said, it's a brand new clutch. Why would you put it in the scrap? He said, well, the guy said he didn't want it. He'll said, throw it in the scrap. I said, okay. Throw it back by pickup. Well, I went down there and picked it up a little bit ago, laid it up, put it up back my pickup, just slipped out my hands, and I dropped it. When I did, my glasses fell off. That clutch rolled around, flopped around on the ground, and fell right over on my glasses. Scratched down. I dropped the damn thing. It hit the toe of my boot. Thank God my damn boots were steel-toed. Skinned my leg and my knee when I went down. That's all right. I got it. It's in there. It's in the back of the truck. So, either or.
So, what's that bit?
Huh?
Does that fit your truck?
Oh, yeah. It'll fit any of them. It's a 2050 easy pedal eating clutch. It'll fit.
Yeah, pretty much all these clutches are... Put it in my truck. Greg can put it in his truck. Bill can put it in his truck. Oh, shit.
Damn clutch right now. Wow. Last clutch I bought was like $800. I can imagine what they are brand new now. It was $800.
The last one I bought was, I think it was $1,500.
$1,500?
That's
like picking up.
Yeah.
The last one I put in mine was 3 years ago when I rebuilt the motor. When I rebuilt my engine, I put a new clutch and everything on it. When I put the tranny and everything, put that motor down in the frame. And it was like, I think it was $800 then. That was pre-Biden prices. I can imagine what it is now.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're probably
like about picking up gold.
So,
It don't matter what it is anymore.
Yeah, it don't matter. Parts and everything's pretty much doubled. Everything's went up except our rates.
Yeah. No, yeah, well, that goes up. That don't go up.
Don't know.
Tip over there has a list of questions of, now I can't remember what they all were.
You
I want
what?
To hear your opinion on them.
Those are the topics for the talk I have with Trucker Tools tomorrow.
How's 22 so far been different from 2021? Freight's got cheaper. The brokers has got, crookeder. Because the brokers is profiting at least 40 to almost 50% off of the loads that the brokers just taken off the top of it. We've caught two of them doing it already. And how are you dealing with high operating costs? You got to learn to run the least amount of miles for the most amount of money, and you got to learn to tell them brokers, no, you're not hauling it because it's too damn cheap. When you get the money up, then that's when you can haul it. As long as the rates, you can't operate a truck for $1.50 a mile, $1.50 a mile. You can't do it. I don't care who you are. You can't do it.
No.
You know, and they're wanting you to run for a damn near after it all breaks down and everything. They're wanting this all in. No, we ain't doing all in. You put the rate, and then you get the fuel surcharge. They're getting the fuel surcharge. You're giving it all in, and they're keeping the fuel surcharge. That ain't working. That don't work for me. Here's another one. What tips do you have for owner-operators, small trucking companies, for keeping expenses as low as possible? I just said it. You run the least amount of miles for the most amount of money, and you watch your speed. Keep your speed down. Try to keep your fuel mileage up as high as you can. You try to keep your loads as light as you can for the most amount of money. And you got to watch your overhead. You got to watch your maintenance, your parts, your fuel costs. You got to take all that into consideration. If you ask I'll guarantee you, if you ask 90% of the owner-operators out here right now, if you go and ask them, what is your, do you know what your cost per mile is, that they can't tell you. They can't tell you.
I can.
They cannot tell you your cost per mile.
What's my cost per mile then, Greg? Let's see if you, how close you are. What's my operating cost per mile?
Your cost per mile?
Yep.
I have no idea what your cost per mile is, but I guarantee you can't run that. You can't run what you're doing. What you're doing, you shouldn't even be turning that key on for less than $6-$7 a mile. For that RGN, as specialized equipment, that truck should not be moving for less than $6-$7 a mile. Plus fuel. I just, that's the way I see it. I mean, it's just, this is 2022, not 1988, 89, 90, 91. It's not. You know, they're trying right now at these rates, the way they're doing it, running for $1, $1.25 a mile. That was rates that they was getting back in the late 80s, early 90s. They was running for $1 a mile. Fuel was 89 cents a gallon, 85 to 90 cents a gallon. Now fuel is, you know, for almost $5 a gallon, and they're still, these brokers are still thinking, still want you to run for $1, $1.50 a mile. You can't do that. You can't. There's nobody that can do that. I mean,
no,
I don't care.
No, you can't. That may got to push it on, you know, okay. I understand that the brokers want to make some money. How do you think they're going to stay in business, especially the big,
yeah,
the big
well,
brokers? That's been around a while. I understand that. No, yeah, there's a certain, you got to draw a line. They're being greedy right now. Us drivers are trying to survive, and we can't survive.
What I'm saying is, when the hell FMCSA is good about putting all these rules and regulations and regulating the hell out of us, when are they going to go in and start regulating these brokers and say, okay, look, now we got to draw a line of sand here somewhere. The drivers are only allowed, they're only able to make this much. You should only be making this much too. What justifies them taking 40 to 50% of the money? The companies, the shippers and receivers, or the shippers are complaining that it's costing us, and you hear the news media saying, well, you know, the economy's so bad, and it's the price of diesel fuel, and it's costing, you know, these companies so much, all this money, you know, to get this freight transported across the country because of the high price of diesel fuel and the cost of the trucking to get it hauled. Well, if they would go and start interviewing some of the trucks, say, well, what kind of money are you making to haul these loads? Well, here's how much money we're making. Well, where's the rest of this money? And ask them, where's the rest of this money going? Here's what we're making per mile. So why don't you go ask the brokers that's brokering this freight where the money's at? The shippers are paying good money to get it hauled, but they're not passing it on to the drivers. They're putting it in their pockets.
Yep.
And that's where that transparency shit comes into play that everybody's complaining, but you don't hear nothing from it. Well. So I don't know what their deal is, but that's where it's coming right back to is the brokers. You know, I mean, well, it's coming back on the companies and the drivers. Because if they would quit hauling this cheap shit, the brokers would have to come up with some money. But they're not, because these brokers know that somebody will haul it. And they'll tell you that. Well, if you don't take it, somebody will. Well, somebody might, but it ain't going to be me. And you could ask them. I work with them all the time. That's my biggest bitch. I thought, I ain't doing it. $1.50, if I can't get $2, at least $2 to $2.50 a mile, then they can stick in their ass. I'm not going to run my truck for nothing.
It's come to the time when brokers, I think, are going to be wishing they didn't do with the games they're playing now. Because already I'm hearing the shippers and the receivers saying, hey, is there any way we can deal with you direct and cut out the broker we're working with?
It'll never
happen. We're getting frustrated, and I know the shippers and receivers that are paying the brokers the fees are getting very upset with it. So
look at the DOT numbers out there. Just look around at the DOT numbers on these trucks now. 20 years ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago, most of the companies out there, the trucking companies out there was bigger companies, and they would, you was dealing with 4- and 5-digit DOT numbers. Now they're up into the 6- and 7-digits. You look at every truck that goes by you now, every truck has got a different truck. There's trucking companies out there, Joe Blow Trucking, you know, and Betty's Trucking. And every one of them's got a 6-7-digit DOT number on it. They're fly by night. Everybody's going, applying for their own authority, putting the DOT number on the side of their truck, cut the shit out of the rates. These big companies that's got the, you know, the mega carriers are just as bad. You know, you got Landstar, you got Snyder, you got J.B. Hunt, you got Warner, you go, the list goes on and on and on. Every damn one of them, not only are they a mega carrier, but they're also, every one of them just about now is a logistics company, and they've also, they got their brokerage license. So they want all the freight. They're going around to all these little mom and pop businesses, and they want to get all the freight they can get. And then they take all the cream off the top of it and take all the good loads and put on their trucks. And then they take all the bullshit loads, the cheap shit that they can't get rid of. They put it on a broker board and they broker it out, you know, and then they want you to haul it for a dollar a mile so they can get rid of the garbage, because they know when they take it, they've got to take it all or nothing. All right, that's all good and well. But we're doing it because we're doing it. If we would quit hauling it, they would lose a lot of that. Things would change.
That's right.
You know, so as long as you haul it for that cheap rate, then you're part of the problem, not the solution. Now,
right.
I'm only one person, and trust me, I have had battle after battle after battle with these brokers. And Tip, she gets aggravated with me because I'll argue with the brokers till hell freezes over. I'm not doing it. I will not do it. I've got too much invested in my equipment to go out there and haul cheap shit. You know, paid $40,000 for this damn trailer to go out there and haul dollar a mile freight, 43,000, 44,000 pounds. You know, haul Ace. All right, Bennett, they're a good one for that. I mean, they're going out and they're putting rates on their boards, on our load board. Load's gone 730 miles, paying, and you know, it's going 730 miles, paying $2,050, and they put $530 or $500 some of fuel surcharge. Well, they say it pays gross is $2,050 gross to go 730 miles, plus $530 or whatever it is, $500 in fuel surcharge. All right. As soon as you get the fuel surcharge and put it in your fuel tank, that $500 comes off of that $2,050. So now you've knocked that load down to $1,550. Now they take, then you drive 730 miles to deliver that load. Then when you deliver it, then they take their 24% off of it or whatever. So where does that put you? Down to what, $700, $800? All right, so now you just drove 730 miles. So what's that do to your price per mile? Now you're down to a damn near a dollar a mile. I ain't doing it. And I told him that. I said, where do you come up with this? How are you breaking these loads down? Oh, no, you don't understand. Oh, yeah, I do understand. You're adding the 500 fuel, so you're adding the fuel surcharge to the line haul to get that gross at 2050, and then when we take the 500 off our fuel surcharge off of it, then that's dropping the gross. It shouldn't. That $2,050 should stay $2,050. The 500 for fuel should go to us 100% to the owner of the truck.
You know, you're talking okay, we'll just say, okay, the load is paying $2,500, whatever it is.
Right.
The company that you're leased to should be paying the drivers the fuel surcharge, not coming out of the line haul.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If it's $2,500,
there's some companies that pay 90% out there. There's some that pay 85, 83, 75. I've seen them. I think Lance or some of their drive-ins pay, 65, 68%? What are they doing with that big old chunk?
It's pretty,
that comes out of that line haul.
It's pretty obvious what they're doing with it. Go down there. Go out there around, where is it? Down there, where the hell is it? Down there on 275, whatever it is, down there in Cincinnati, wherever it is. Look at TQL's big building they put up down there. Look at that big, fancy new building that TQL Logistics just put up down there. And then they got the nerve to put a big sign out there. Thanks to our employees, we was able to build this new facility. No, your employees, my ass. Thanks to the driver that you stole the money off of, that you skimmed money off of, they're the ones that paid for that building, not your crooked ass employees that helped you do it. And I don't care what company it is. I don't care who it is. If they're brokering a load, they're just as bad as the next one. Bennett, Ace, Admiral Merchants, Kaplan, PGT, PLS, the list, Coyote. It's cheap-ass Robinson.
Hunt.
It's a good one right there. Cheap Paul Robinson. C.H. Robinson.
Oh.
That is the biggest
cheap and heavy
rip-offs that there ever was.
That's
in
cheap
this
and heavy.
Yeah. Cheap and heavy Robinson.
And a pain in the ass to work with.
You're right. And then here's a good one. You get these stupid ass brokers that want you to haul the shit for nothing, and then as soon as you put it on the truck, they want to call you every hour wanting to know what your ETA is. Did you get it loaded? What's your ETA? Are you going to be delivering down there? Oh, we need you to put a tracker on your phone so we can track this load. The customer is real adamant about tracking it. Screw you.
Yeah.
You'll sit there and when I'm late and you worry about the load. You're not paying nothing. You're not getting nothing. You know? No, you're not paying me for the use of my phone. You're not paying me for the use of my truck, let alone on my phone and shit.
You have no idea how many blocked broker numbers I have on my phone.
Oh, I know how many. That's the same I do, because when they start calling me, I block their number.
Amen. I do too.
I download the track. If they want a tracker on it, I will. I, if it's a simple tracking app, like, what's that one they use?
I can't remember.
I can't think now. But MacroPoint. You know, that's not bad. I'll download. I got that MacroPoint on my phone anyhow. I'll touch it.
Yeah.
I'll made it for them to track it. But once I start that tracker.
That one on Amazon. Amazon's got their own app, too. I don't mind that one because they leave me alone. They can track me. I don't care if they track me. Don't call me at 5 o'clock in the morning and say, where are you at? When's that trailer going to be there? Fuck you. I hang up on them.
Nope, I don't do it. Once I activate that tracker, that's the last time they're going to hear from me. Because I don't answer the phone, and if they call and it don't come up, I don't care who it is. If I don't recognize the number, block. I'm out.
I tell the broker, I say, hey, call my company. I got an ELD in here. They're tracking me all day long. If you want information, call them. I'm paying them a percentage to get me loads. I'm not paying them to talk to you. So goodbye, and that's it.
I got pissed off at one, Jeff, and I told him, I said, look, I said, I don't need a babysitter. I said, if you want to babysit somebody,
amen.
I said, call somebody else, because I said, I've been doing this shit for 38 years. I don't need a freaking babysitter. I said, when the load's
amen.
Late, you can start bitching. But until I am late with your load, I don't want to hear nothing about it. Now, that's it. I don't need a babysitter. I didn't. That's not what I started. I started driving trucks. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have pagers. We had to stop and pay for them. Hey, we did just fine without all the electronics in the trucks. In fact, it was better. They wasn't able to track us back then. So why all of a sudden now everything's going to be tracked? I got an idea.
All these jackets
out here with these turbans and sandals and these, as my buddy calls it, these turban Suburbans. Get rid of all these assholes. All these, Iraq drivers, all these foreign drivers that's coming over here, and Somalis and shit. That Yoho trucking or whatever it is out of wherever it is, Illinois. Yopo or whatever it is. All that company is 90% of it is all Somalis. Get rid of all these assholes that can't speak English, and you won't have to worry about your freight. I'm tired of it. Every truck you pass, I'm sorry. I'm done. If you can't read right,
all the ones I'll tolerate that is government loads that are kind of like, you know, under the radar. Yeah, you can track me with that all you want. I appreciate it then, you know.
Well, now I got a problem with that too, Jeff, because back in the 80s and 90s, you hauled government loads in. You didn't have trackers on you then. If they had a tracker, it's because they put a tracker on the freight in the trailer, and it's the way they track you.
That's correct. You're right.
I've hauled government loads back in the 80s and early 90s. I used to run a lot of government loads on flatbed, big crates and, you know, and stuff like that. They'd load you. I went into a military installation to load a big crate. All right, I went in there. They stood on each side of my truck and rode back in. I backed into a dock. They covered the mirrors up with, like, little bags, like, so you couldn't look in the mirror. They covered the mirrors up. They went back, told you, stay in the truck. They went back. They loaded you. They strapped the load, chained the load down. They rode back out of the facility with you, and then they pulled them back, told you, now go. You know, head for where you're going. And I guarantee you, you had to pay attention, but there was cars following you from point A to point B. If you pulled in to get fuel, you look around. There was a black car or a military or a government car or a couple of them sitting somewhere watching you all the time. And you didn't stop other than long enough to get fuel, grab a sandwich, and get. You didn't leave that truck. So what did they do then? They didn't have trackers. You know, that's bullshit. Like I said, the loads don't pay enough for me to have a babysitter too. You know, so if I need a tracker and I need a babysitter, then you need to find somebody else to haul your load. Or you as a broker, if your freight you feel is that critical, then you need to go buy some trucks and haul that shit yourself. You go buy some trucks, you pay the fuel, you pay all the expenses and the maintenance on that truck, you pay the driver, and you pay the driver, you know, the driver's, you know, insurances and stuff, and then you tell me how much you're making on that load after you get done paying all that. That's why they do it, because they have no overhead. All they have to do is pay their internet bill and their office and keep lights on and pay their employees to sit there in that office on their dead ass and play on the computer all day. And half the people they got in that damn office are in their 20s. Early 30s, they can't even spell truck, let alone be able to drive one or know anything what's going on with them. That's what I got a problem with. Broker transparency. And until the government does something about these brokers, this industry ain't never going to change. Because these drivers talking about, well, we're going to shut down and we're going to slow roll and we're going to strike and we're going to, you know, we're going to protest. Blow it out your ass. I've been hearing that stuff since way back in the mid-80s, the early mid-80s.
Yeah.
They didn't do nothing. The drivers is a bunch of bullshit. They're going to blow smoke. I can't afford to shut down. You can't afford not to the way things are now. If everybody just took a 34-hour restart all at the same time, and every truck in this country, in this nation, would shut off for 34 hours, everybody said, oh, that won't do it. I'm telling you what. Can you imagine what it would look like out here for 34 hours if everywhere you look, you had trucks sitting there, wasn't a truck driving or moving anywhere on the highway, city streets, anywhere, wasn't a truck anywhere for 34 hours?
24 hours.
Well, 24 hours, but I'm saying a 34-hour restart. Everybody wants a 34-hour restart. Okay. Set for 34. Everybody take a 34-hour restart. At the same time, can you imagine what this country would look like without a truck running for 34 hours? You know, three days, and people in New York City would be eating each other up there. They can't keep more than a 2 or 3 day supply of food in that city. And that was back in the early, you know, in the 90s, 2000s. As populated as that is, they can't keep enough food in that city to feed Jersey and New York. They can't keep a 3 day food supply in that place. And it's worse now because there's already a food shortage. Everybody's, well, you can't do that. That's inhumane. Now that's punishing. Hey, sometimes you got to hit it where it hurts. You know, so what? So, yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's going to, they'll start that.
It's not humane what they're doing to truckers right now.
That's right. They don't give a damn what they're doing to us, so why should we care about them? You give them a little bit, make them feel a little bit of our pain, just like Texas is doing with New York now with them illegals. You know, why do you know, Texas is flooded with them. So Abbott says, okay, we're going to send you some of ours. You deal with a little bit of our misfortune. Now they're crying the blues up. Well, we can't take care of all these people. What do you think Texas has been doing all this time with them pouring across there by the thousands? Yeah. You're getting them by the hundreds. Texas is getting them by the thousands. Texas, Arizona, all the border states, same way with us. People don't give a damn about us as long as they got shit in the store to eat and they got clothes and the finer things so they can go out buy. They got gas for their cars. They got, you know, they got food in the stores. They got clothes in the stores. They can go out there, buy their cookies and their whatever. They're good with that. All right? We're no good pieces of shit right now because they got everything they need. All right? But as soon as that stops, the shows go bare. There's no gas for their cars. They can't get all this shit they need. Oh, my God, the trucks. They're not delivering nothing, no. Well, you know why? Because they're not paying us. We're not getting paid enough to be able to operate the operating costs to move this stuff. So you need to talk to the government and find out why. Take it to your officials and find out why all these brokers and stuff that's handling all this freight and these logistics companies are screwing the drivers. Because that's right where it comes from. And, you know, as bad as I hate to say it, they're one of our sponsors. I'm going to throw them under the bus, too, because Trucker Tools is one of them. It don't make a damn what it is. If you're a broker, if you're a logistics company and you're brokering freight and you're chopping that much off of that rate and put it in your pocket, then you're screwing the driver, then you're part of the problem.
But Trucker Tools and their defense on they're not doing that. They just have a board repeat where these brokers are going to post their loads on there.
Yes, but there needs to come a time when these companies like that, when these brokers call in with that cheap-ass rate like that, they need to say, whoa, hold it. We're not doing this. It's too cheap.
But they can't.
We can't.
Trucker Tools is charging them companies that put their loads on the board.
You're damn right.
Yeah,
they are.
But they're not telling
them. There goes a piece of the pie.
Okay, that's like double brokering. There's been laws on the books for how many years against double brokering? It's against the law to double broker. You cannot double broker loads. That's against the law. Or it was. It used to be. And you'll see every once in a while, I've seen it come up on confirmation sheets from a couple different brokers. Can't remember who. I think Chief Paul Robinson's one of them. Chief and Heavy Robinson. I think they're one of them. But they're right on the confirmation sheet. It says, this load must not be double brokered. Well, you shouldn't have to put that there because they should already know that. That is against the law to double broker. There's companies that's double and triple brokering these loads. I'll take a load. They'll say, can you move that? Yeah, I can move that. So I take the load. It's my freight. I'll say, well, I can't do it. So Jeff's trucking. Okay, can you haul this load? Jeff say, yeah, I can move it. I'll take it. I'll get it moved. Jeff can't do it. So now he brokered it off of me. Jeff can't do it. He finds out I can't get it moved. So now Jeff gets a hold of Robbie and says, RM Transport, can you move this load? Robbie say, yeah, I can move it. So Robbie takes it and Robbie moves it. Or if Robbie can't move it, he moves it, he brokers it out to somebody else. Every time that load goes to a broker, that broker, I took a cut off of it. The original people had it, takes money off of it. Then I took money off of it. Joe takes money off of it. Robbie takes money off of it. What's left for the truck when the load finally gets where it's going? So if you double broker that load, if that broker's only, that load's only brokered twice, all right, the original person, say I'm the original one, I'm the man, I'm the one that, it's my customer, and I broker that load to you, Jeff, and you can't do it, you broker Robbie, that's double brokered then, all right, because I'm the main one, then I brokered to you, you brokered to Robbie, now you and Robbie, that's double brokered right there, it's been brokered twice, you took a money, I took take money off of it because it's originally my customer, so I give it to you, I took a cut out of it before I give it to you. Said, this is what I'm paying.
They must have eliminated that law because that happens all the time.
That's right. And then you say, well, Robbie, this is what I can pay you. I can pay you this to move it. Price of that load's already dropped probably $1,000 to $15,000, $2,000 off of that right there. Then Robbie said, bam, it's cheap, but I'll try to get it moved. He'll either move it, or if he's got trucks, or if he don't have trucks, like some most of these brokers do, they'll call the next broker, which I'll be like the next broker, and he'll say, hey, can you, or somebody will call in, driver will call in, can you move this load? What do you need to do it? Well, you know, what's the pay? Well, yeah, I can only pay $1,200 to go, you know, 600 mile or whatever it is. Are you kidding me? Well, that's all I can pay. That's all the customer will pay. No, that ain't what the customer or the shipper paid. That's not what they paid to ship the freight. That's all that's left on it after you got done taking your cut and everybody else got done taking money out of it.
Yeah.
That's all that's left. And that's bullshit. And that's what's going on. There ain't nobody bullshit, nobody. That's what's going on. All right. But that being said, we can go on all day on that. But, okay, and then here's another question. What are you hearing from truckers about the current market? We just heard it. We just went over that. What do you think 2023 will be like for truckers? It ain't going to be nothing. It ain't going to be any better than it is right now until 2024 or 2025. Until we get asshole Biden out of office and get administrations up there and get somebody in that damn White House to take control instead of all the horse shit that's going on up there.
Why?
Well,
we take control of Congress and Senate. 23 will be a better year than this year.
I doubt it, Jeff, because, I mean, yes, they won't be able to pass any bills. They ain't going to be able to do excuse me. They're not going to be able to do all the crazy stuff that they're doing now. They're not going to be able to pass all these laws and pass these bills into law because right now, every time they vote on something, it's a tie. It's a tie vote. Well, who's got the deciding vote? Kamala Harris. Well, you know she's going to vote for the Democrats. So we can't win. So anything, any law that they want passed, they're going to get it passed because she's got the deciding vote. Now, if we get control of the House and Senate, they're never going to get anything passed. But the first thing
that takes her out of it.
They need to get rid of Kristen Sinema. They need to run her ass out on a rail. Joe Manchin's pretty much signed his fate in West Virginia. Them people down there in West Virginia done said they're going to hang that son of a bitch from a big tall tree if they get a hold of him for what he did. The people in West Virginia has had it with Joe Manchin. When he went and voted for that new bill because of that, they promised him that gas line coming across West Virginia. I got news for you. He done screwed the people in West Virginia, and they're not happy. West Virginia has always been Democrat. As far back as I can remember, in the 57 years that I've been alive, they have always, that's always been blue. West Virginia has always been Democrat. I'm telling you now, West Virginia is red as an apple right now, buddy. There ain't nobody down there. That blue shit's all gone. It's all red down there now. Them people in West Virginia now is all Trump, buddy. It's all about the Republicans now. They have fed up. They're fed up with Democrats. Ohio is the same way. That used to be broken. You know, it was like half and half, and it used to be a swing state. Not no more. Ohio around this area, now you get down around them liberal assholes down around Columbus and Cincinnati and Toledo and Dayton and some of them up around Cuyahoga County up Cleveland. Yeah, they're still hard-nosed Democrat, but you get down in here in oil and gas and coal country, no, they don't want to hear that crap. You know, it's just like my buddy was saying, Jim was saying the other day, you know, and he's right. All these Democrats and all these left-wingers that want to bitch about all this green energy, and they're wanting all these electric cars and all these solar panels and all this. They don't want no gas and no oil and no coal and all that. What they need to do is shut their gas off, shut their water off, shut their electricity off, shut everything, shut all their utilities off to their house. And they'll say, well, you can't do that. It's going to get cold. We'll freeze to death. Wait a minute. You don't like gas. You get heat from gas. You don't like natural gas. You don't like oil. You don't like coal. How do you get your electricity? Your electricity right now, you want it, you get it from, you buy your windmill. Put just some solar panels up. And when your batteries go dead, don't cry, because right now you're getting your electricity from a coal-fired plant. Or coal or gas.
Well, how much fossil fuel are in the solar panels?
Well, that's just it. How much oil does it take to make plastic? People don't realize how much fossil fuels and oil there is in plastic when they make plastic. They don't realize how much oil is made. I want to see how they get rid of fossil fuels and oil, and they get rid of all the oil and stuff. How they gonna make tires for their cars? People don't realize how much oil is into making a car tire. Rubber.
That's right.
You know, everything that you touch just about has oil, fossil fuel in it.
Well, I'm getting a kick right now. Robbie talked about a little bit earlier in the week about, I guess that was last Wednesday night, about this these lakes, Mead Lake and Lake Powell.
Yes.
You know, they got California relies on the grid, you know, and the power that these two dams used to generate. Well, they're not generating that now.
Right.
And now California says, we don't want to cut back at all. Well, you know, there's not enough electricity being produced in the country to handle the electric cars that they all want to be built. And that's this Manchin bill and Schumer bill that just got passed was to build and to sell these electric cars cheaper. A friend of mine his cousin works for Freightliner and in this electric truck deal now. And he says, what a joke that is. He goes, they're trying to get us perfect these electric trucks. He goes, the batteries alone in the electric truck is 900 pounds.
Well, it's not only that, but what are they going to do? You know, it's like all this mask bullshit, you know, and their COVID. Screw their COVID shit. Every damn election, they have to come out with some kind of a virus or something. It was a swine, the bird flu, Ebola, then it was every year. I mean, since back before Obama, they started that shit.
Here we are, right in front of the primaries. Right before November, we're coming out now with monkeypox on top of COVID.
Monkeypox. Well, if you're not gay and you're not out there sticking your ding dong and somebody, don't worry about it. You ain't gonna get it.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sorry. They can call me what they want to, whatever. I don't give a shit. It, you know, LGBTQ can kiss my ass. I don't care what you do. But don't push your stupid-ass agenda on me or my kids or my grandkids. Let the kids grow up, make their own decisions. If they want to be gay when they grow up, that's their prerogative. But don't tell them that they got to be like that. The grown-ass adults telling these kids right now and the teachers and the government trying to tell the kids what their gender is going to be, I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
I have got a big problem with that. I got a brother a half brother that's gay as a $3 bill. And you know what? He can kiss my ass, too, because I don't talk to him either. I don't care. I got I didn't talk to him before I knew he was gay. And then he was married for umpteen years and had three kids, and they're all grown ass. Damn, they're adults now. And then all of a sudden, him and his wife divorced because he's got a gay boyfriend. He'd go to hell. I'd punch him right in the mouth just same as look at him right now. I don't even want to be around him. Don't even just say, well, your brother. No, he ain't my brother. Yes, he is. No, he ain't. No. Nope. I don't have no brothers. Nope. Not me. Not like that. Nope. He's like that. He ain't related to me. I'm sorry.
Yep.
God said Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, buddy. I'm sorry. So,
I agree.
Robbie, if you decide to turn gay or whatever, just remember that before you come back around my house.
Robbie's still on here. He goes to sleep.
I think he hung up.
He's still on there. He's just not
old to
you guys.
Hey, Robbie. Maybe I touched the nerve. He'll get over it. He always does. But anyhow, either or.
You know what? It's 7 o'clock out there. And 6 o'clock out there.
He ain't in Phoenix.
He's in Colorado.
He wasn't in Colorado. Yeah, it's still he's 2 hours behind, so it's... Yeah, he might have us on hold. He's probably talking to Petty. It don't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's time to get off the phone for me, too. I need to make a couple phone calls. So.
Yeah, I got to get off, get in the shower. I got dirt and grease and oil and all over.
I just kind of wanted to touch base with y'all And like I said, I don't know. As it gets closer to September, I'll be able to know more of them coming up. I would like to come up. I'd like to get in that cornhole tournament.
Yeah, I'm taking my truck out. I'm going to get the truck full. I'm going to take it out. I was debating on whether to do it or not. If everybody wants to, I'm going to do it. See what I can break.
Hell yeah. You might as well. Now you got a backup clutch, so.
Yeah, I just got to find a flunky to put it in because I don't like doing it anymore. But anyhow, I got to get it home to put it in. Call Nick. Put it road service. Come on, put a clutch in this thing. See if you can do that in an hour or so I can get back in the game. But, yeah, so I don't know. So, yeah, I've been trying to get that ready. And I just talked to her dad. I got to take the motorhome over this week. I got to take it over this weekend and pull all the tires and wheels off it and get tires and new tires put on it and get everything ready to go on it. See what goes. Are you going to get the air conditioner charged up in it? I don't know. Well, we got to do a lot of stuff, so we got that going on. But right now, I'm going to go to work in the morning. I'm going to go do something. She's got some. One way or the other, I got to do something.
All right.
So
we'll talk to you later.
I'll try to call on the Mark on Ed show. See, I haven't called
in I'll try to.
God knows how long. I've been so busy, I ain't had time to fart on anything else. So, all right, Jeff.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, now.
Bye.
All right, bye. It's supposed to be your show. I thought it was. Who's going upstairs?
All righty, so this brings us to a close to the show tonight. We had an unexpected co-host that popped in, so we made him do the work with the rest of the guys for the rest of the evening. So, thank you for joining Women of Redneck and Eyes on this Wednesday night show. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to see and hear Ed, because, you know, he always does our live podcast on our YouTube channel. So, check him out tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And this brings us to a close. And we want to thank all of our sponsors, DPF Regeneration, LTR Transportation, and Trucker Tools. We are going to leave you here tonight. Oh, see, I was going to say, with a quick little promo for our website. So, as we sign off for tonight, I want to tell you all to be careful, be safe, and we will catch you here tomorrow night and always Wednesday night with Women of Redneck and Eyes.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and eyes.
And that's a wrap. And good night, fellas.